This week on Vaticano. On December the 17th, the world remembers Pope Francis on what would have been his 89th birthday. In this Vaticano, we look back at the life, pontificate, and Franciscan vision of the first Latin American Pope, Pope Francis. For this and more, Vaticano starts now. Never before Francis was there a pope from Argentina. He was the first pope from the New World, the very first Latin American pope in history.
All of a sudden, the white smoke announced a man who at first did not sound Italian, and suddenly we became aware that it was a dear friend of many years, Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio, who had been elected pontiff of the Catholic Church. We said, he is one of ours. That is to say, the feeling that someone who knows our streets, our people, who has smelled Latin America, who knows how Latin American popular religiosity is modulated, was elected Vicar of Christ. What a very, very profound experience.
There is one fundamental feature that Pope Francis brings with himself from Argentina, from Latin America, to Rome. A living dialogue between the tradition of the origins and the experience of the living faith of today. On the one hand, you have the faith of the people, the popular piety that in Latin America has become enormously important, and that is a basis of the theology of the people and of culture of Pope Francis. On the other hand, you have the faith of the origins. You have a dogmatic theology that has the task of defending the origins. And you have a pastoral theology that has to elaborate the faith of the people today. And they must stand continually in relation to one another.
Poor church for the poor, Pope Francis often said that he wanted. As in Rome, where here under the colonnade of St. Peter's, he set up medical care and bathing facilities for those most in need. Also as Archbishop in Buenos Aires, Argentina, he was particularly close to the poor and to the priests that serve them.
Those back in the slums of Buenos Aires, called Las Villas Miserias, literally the homes of misery, say that despite his election to the papacy, he stayed true to the poor, true to his origins.
I remember the first images and they showed the shoes. Well, that sums it up for you. He took the walk he had in the neighborhood. He took it to his walk in the Universal Church. I was talking about closeness, and I think it's a theological question. Yes, the theology of God's closeness. Well, he brought that. And he also brought realism and openness. He brought the church that does not look away when there is a problem, but assumes it, even if it makes mistakes, right? And he said that from the first day. I prefer a church in the field to a church locked up in the sacristy. I believe that this church in the field has been here in these popular neighborhoods from their beginnings more than 50 years ago. Yes, he basically took that to Rome. He took that poor church for the poor here in Buenos Aires, there. He carried the martyrdoms of the 20th century with him. He carried those martyrdoms that sowed the seeds of this church that is Latin America, a young church, an open church, a church in dialogue with reality, a church that is not afraid to get dirty, an enculturated church. That is what he brought. And surely the Holy Spirit will continue to give new breaths of life even after Francis.
Nuevos alientos de vida, aún después de Francisco.
But the first wasn't just a first for Argentinians. Catholics across Spanish-speaking nations were all represented by one of their own.
y rezar y desear para que el Señor me bendiga.
Pope Benedict and Saint John Paul II, they spoke very good Spanish, but it's a different thing hearing him in a different accent, Argentinian accent, in our own language. It was a beautiful moment, but also that he understood us and he knew where we were coming from and where we wanted to be too. And I think it's very fitting, both Pope Francis and Pope Benedict, the first international trip they had, both of them, was a World Youth Day. We were like 3 million people in Copacabana. It was an amazing experience to hear him in our own language, but also his approach, everything. I think, and of course, that World Youth Day was tons and tons of Latin American. It was a beautiful experience to see him, to be with him. And yeah, and from there, it was the start of, okay, this is how it's gonna be. Very different than we were used to. Not in a bad way, it's just different.
Mexican Archbishop Jorge Carlos Patron Wong worked closely with Pope Francis in Rome for 8 years. For him, Pope Francis spoke their language in more than one way.
So there is a combination of maturity and youth, and Pope Francis is noticeable because there is a theological and ecclesiastical maturity, but at the same time, a very practical dynamism in Latin America that is also noticeable, and that the language of Pope Francis, his way of communicating, is very Latin American, with his words, gestures, images that are very close to the people, but that have an extraordinary theological and religious depth.
Francis traveled to a variety of countries across Latin America, including Cuba, Chile, Ecuador, Colombia, Brazil, Mexico, and Panama.
En Brasil, el contacto con los jóvenes, que no son el futuro sino el presente, apoyando al Papa.
In Brazil, the connection with young people who are not the future but the present, supporting the Pope and the youth of Pope Francis, was very significant. Secondly, the trip to Chile and Bolivia, the meeting with popular movements, and his address in Santa Cruz de la Sierra, where the second meeting of popular movements took place. There, he emphasized the need to turn passion into community action, which I would say is politics, and the best kind of politics. In Colombia, for example, where this historic, long and slow journey of social dialogue and peace was taking place, it was very important for the Pope to be there, to bring visibility to the process and to listen to all voices. In Mexico, his messages to the bishops and his dialogue with them were among the strongest I can recall in local episcopal conferences, while also maintaining a spirit of reconciliation. I believe that in every Latin American country, the Pope has touched precisely those key issues that serve as the foundation for a hopeful future.
El Papa ha tocado justamente esos botones que son los resortes de un futuro esperanzador.
José Manuel de Urquidi, a Mexican-American participant in Pope Francis's Synod on Synodality in Rome, says that for Latinos in the United States, the fact of sharing a culture put them in a better position to understand him more clearly than non-Latinos, but also to see him as a human being.
I think it has been a very unique thing for Latinos to see he's a person, right? We didn't have a pope that, okay, he was chosen as a pope and then he became this angel or this living saint. Not at all. He has been very close and he's spontaneous. Sometimes he says things that we Latinos get because of the context of the culture, of the background, the lived experiences, etc., etc. So it's easier for us maybe to understand that than maybe other people in other cultures.
In a few moments, we'll be exploring how the name Francis became the thread that shaped the entire pontificate of Pope Francis. More on Vaticano starts now.
Annuncio vobis gaudium magnum, Habemus Papam.
When Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio was elected Pope in 2013, he took the name of Francis.
For me, he is the man of poverty, the man of peace, the man who loves and protects creation.
So the name for Francis was very, very significant. And he made it very clear from the beginning that it wasn't Francis Xavier, it was Francis of Assisi. And of course, for we Franciscans, we were delighted. Many things are Franciscan about Pope Francis. Certainly his love for a simple lifestyle, for living that evangelical poverty that indicates how we depend upon God for everything and our great trust in God's providence, not on wealth or power. His desire to be connected to the little people, to people who are suffering, to the immigrants, the hungry, the homeless, and to try to show the merciful face of the Father.
St. Francis's influence can be seen throughout Pope Francis's pontificate. For example, St. Francis heard God's call to rebuild his church. Pope Francis too, albeit in a very different role, also heard his own call and set about his own church reform, encouraging synodality in decision-making and completing a new apostolic constitution to guide the work of the Vatican.
Cardinal Sean O'Malley of Boston was one of just nine cardinals representing the entire world to serve on a special commission called the C9 to discuss and advise the Pope on these reforms.
I think that the Holy Father has responded to a call to rebuild the church as Francis did. Certainly, all of his work around safeguarding has been such an important step forward in the church, and being part of his commission for the protection of minors, I see how he has become so personally involved in this mission of healing. And also his desire to assure people that the church wants to be transparent and faithful in the use of our temporal goods, and transparency and with the financial resources of the church, the reforms of the whole financial system of the Vatican.
At the same time, Pope Francis advocated for the care of our common home in his 2015 encyclical Laudato Si, the title itself taken from St. Francis's own Canticle of the Creatures, and the follow-up 2023 exhortation Laudate Deum on the climate crisis. In 2020, Pope Francis put a Franciscan stamp on his encyclical on human fraternity and social friendship, Fratelli Tutti, or Brothers All, by signing it in Assisi. From smaller things like choosing a simple vehicle and frequently calling people on the phone to bigger things, Pope Francis Franciscanized the Vatican and the Roman Curia, says Franciscan spokesman Father Enzo Fortunato.
Let's think about the barbers for the homeless. Let's think about the showers to the bathrooms to the beds for people who have nowhere to go, who have no destination. His choices truly began to make the poor at home and the church, not in separate facilities. For so many years, we made the Caritas centers, the facilities for the vulnerable, to visit prisoners. Instead, Francis, we could say, wanted them with him at home.
Potremmo dire li ha voluti con sé in casa.
Over the course of his reign, Pope Francis even went to Assisi more than any other place outside of Rome. The likeness has also been noted in Franciscan convents like St. Clare's in Rome. For Mother Elena Francesca Beccaria, his actions have left a Franciscan imprint.
Mainly, what I believe this will leave me with is a sense of respect for the other, understood in the broadest sense, the other with a capital O, of course, but also the other as my brother, the other as creation itself. It's this attentiveness, this care for others and for the created world that remains with me.
At the order of the Franciscan Friar Minors Rome-based headquarters, the Minister General, the 121st successor to St. Francis himself, saw the resemblance between the saint and the Pope in Pope Francis's vision for the Church.
Le priorità del pontificato mi sembrano queste.
St. Francis was an evangelizer and sent us to preach the gospel, and this anxiety is felt in the Pope. I would also say this very great universality that stands out in the patron service of Pope Francis, that St. Francis in his time had very clear, crossing frontiers, and this encounter, this stubborn search, even here for encounter with the Muslim world, that the Pope promotes. Some, even in the church, call him naive, saying, isn't it difficult to truly dialogue with that world? But even here, it seems to me that Pope sees further. He understands the value of signs.
Anche qui mi sembra che il Papa vede più lontano, ha presente il valore dei segni.
During his pontificate, Pope Francis visited more than a dozen Muslim-majority nations, promoting and encouraging what he called human fraternity, peaceful coexistence. Pope Francis forged a close relationship with the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar in Egypt. In the early 13th century, St. Francis also paid a visit to an Egyptian Muslim sultan. Before he became Pope, Francis had a close friend in another Muslim leader back in Buenos Aires, Sheikh Omar Abaud.
Historically, St. Francis had a particular kind of courage. Well, that same courage is also the courage that Pope Francis has today, not only in terms of demanding peace, of saying no to war, but we are at the gates of perhaps one of the most important voices in reference to the geopolitical vision that exists in the modern world, the Third World War and pieces. It is not a slogan, it is a reality. So, in that sense, in a time that also had some warlike particularity, to encourage to talk, to approach, to exchange, is not the whole solution to the conflict, but it is surely a part of the solution.
No es toda la solución del conflicto, pero sí es una parte de la solución, seguramente.
A messenger of peace and dialogue. The connections between the 13th century saint and the 21st century pope are many. Looking back, what began when Jorge Mario Bergoglio took the name Francis at his election can now be seen as the thread that connected the plan of his pontificate. Stay with us. After the break, we'll look at how Pope Francis carried his message to the ends of the earth. Just a few months after his election, Pope Francis' first visit outside of Rome took him to the island of Lampedusa on July the 8th, 2013.
After the pilgrimages that were carefully planned over a long time during the papacies of Benedict and John Paul II, he wants to be as quick as possible in Lampedusa, among the forgotten, the marginalized, and the most unfortunate.
Marginalizowanych, najbardziej nieszczęśliwych.
His choice of Lampedusa set the tone for his papacy. A pope of the peripheries. Francis's first major international trip took him to Rio de Janeiro for World Youth Day. Originally planned by Benedict XVI, it became Francis's stage to inspire young Catholics.
In nome del Padre, del Figlio, del Spirito Santo.
A new pope, a new style. Crowds of young people from all over the world came to Brazil to welcome the new pope. From Rio to Krakow, Panama, and Lisbon, he carried the World Youth Day spirit worldwide. For over 13 years, Domenico Gianni was the Vatican's top security officer, protecting three popes, John Paul II, Benedict XVI, and Francis. He managed over 100 papal trips, including visits to conflict zones and massive public events.
It's truly about having seen and touched situations, imagining myself as the person helping Peter carry a weight. So, what I always said was that the Pope is the greatest Cyrene of humanity, because he truly carries the cross of humanity, because he truly carries our cross.
In nearly 50 international trips across 65 nations, he faced humanity's wounds head on. In 2016, he made history in Armenia, firmly condemning the Armenian genocide despite warnings from the Turkish president. But fear never stopped him. He traveled to Africa 4 times, carrying a clear message: peace. He denounced violence, the arms trade, and rising Islamist terrorism. He called out the world for turning its back on Africa's suffering. And for the first time in the history of the church, a pope inaugurated a holy year outside of Rome, in one of the poorest places on earth. The extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy started in the Cathedral of Bangui with the opening of a tiny wooden holy door. In 2015, the Holy Father came to the United States. There he met with abuse victims, among others, and promised to act.
Dios llora.
God weeps.
Los crímenes y pecados de los abusos sexuales a menores.
The crimes and sins of sexual abuse of minors may no longer be kept secret.
Me comprometo a la celosa vigilancia de la Iglesia.
I commit myself to ensuring that the Church makes every effort to protect minors, and I promise that those responsible will be held to account.
Rendirán cuenta.
Throughout his pontificate, Francis traveled across all continents. In his 2025 autobiography, Francis recalls that the most dangerous trip was to Iraq in 2021. EWTN Vatican correspondent Colm Flynn was on that flight with the Pope, witnessing firsthand the high-stakes mission to a nation still reeling from war.
We were told there were 10,000 soldiers and security personnel there just to protect the Pope. And I believe it, because I think we saw all 10,000 of them. We saw soldiers and people who were armed everywhere we looked.
After the long pause caused by COVID-19, Iraq was the first destination on Pope Francis's renewed global mission. No pope had ever set foot there before, not even John Paul II, despite his 104 international trips. It was a journey into a land of war, violence, and suffering, where Francis came to deliver a simple yet powerful message: hope. He traveled where no pope had ever gone before, from Iraq to Myanmar, the United Arab Emirates to North Macedonia, South Sudan to Bahrain, countries where Catholics are a tiny minority. Then in August of 2023, he made history again, becoming the first pope to set foot in Mongolia, a vast land between Russia and China. Amid the vast steps, a moment that stunned many. Pope Francis embraced 2 bishops from Hong Kong, giving an unexpected shout out to Chinese Catholics, some of whom risked everything to be there. Asia became a defining frontier of Francis's papacy. He visited the continent more than any pope before him. Then came his most grueling journey, September of 2024, Southeast Asia and Oceania. 12 days, 4 nations, 33,000 kilometers. Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, Timor-Leste, Singapore. He underlined the need for peace in the world tirelessly throughout all of his pontificate. As a pilgrim of peace, he traveled hundreds of thousands of kilometers, often reaching the most dangerous and conflict-ridden corners of the earth.